Welcome back to World Football Daily here on the Wednesday edition of the show. I am, of course, Oliver the Deuce Wilson, and I'm delighted to be joined by a man who's making his first appearance of 2013 here on World Football Daily, Matthew Barker, freelance Italian football journalist, joining us on the show today. Matt, happy new year, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you? Happy new year, and happy new year to all the listeners.
And I'm sure they're wishing it back to you in return there, Matthew. It's been a busy start to the Italian season this 2013. Juventus unable to win so far, and it's costing them dear as Lazio are nipping at their heels in the Serie A title race.
Yeah, it's kind of all opening up again a little bit. I mean, you may have got some serious points. If you think they were sort of 8 points clear just before Christmas. In Italy, they have a winter break. They have a sort of have a week or two off. Very civilised thing to do. Since then, I mean, you know, they lost to Sampdoria at home, which is a big shock, and then drew against Parma at the weekend. And to be honest with you, the goal that Juve scored, Pirlo got a free kick, big deflection on that free kick. You know, it was, they were lucky to an extent, really, to get a win, to get a draw, excuse me. You know, it could have been a worst-case scenario for them. The missing, I think what Juventus are missing is a sense of that sort of grit and that determination that they showed over the past season, the past 18 months. But winning a lot of games late on in the second half, you know, just weren't giving up at all. Very much in the mould of their coach Antonio Conte, and they kind of lost that a bit. I don't think it's anything too sort of long term. I don't think we'll sort of think about anything sort of major problems with you. I certainly don't think any other clubs perhaps sort of, you know, worked out how to play against them. I think it is just a psychological thing. Conte, the coach, has been talking a lot about, you know, the club having bad luck, which I think is a bit of a misdemeanor, and I think it sort of does them a bit of a disservice. You know, luck's got nothing to do with this, really. It is just down to needing to find that sort of fighting spirit again and needing to sort of work again as a group. It'd be interesting to see how Conte sort of works this. He's a good man for sort of man management and sort of siege mentalities and mind games and all that sort of stuff. You know, very kind of Alex Ferguson or Mourinho, perhaps. So I think we can expect over the sort of coming weeks a bit of sabre-rattling, perhaps, from Juve, you know, just to get that kind of up and them. They've got to get back to winning ways. They've got to do it fairly as well, because they've got some tough games coming up. They've also got a Champions League coming up as well. You know, two games against Celtic, and Celtic are going to be bang up for those. So, you know, it's a bit of a weak point for them this season. They've got to get through the coming 8 weeks, I think.
Sorry, Matthew. Does this change at all Juventus' approach to the transfer window with the poor form and the psychological problems?
I think it might do. I mean, there's probably, you know, can imagine the suits at Juventus are probably sort of trying to sort of suggest to each other that perhaps they can get away without bringing in a big-name striker. I mean, there's been lots of talk about Drogba. The sort of the favourite at the moment seems to be Lisandro Lopez over in France. But, you know, it's almost like their big problem really is, yeah, they need a big-name player, but they just need a big player. You know, they've got guys like Pirlo who are different types of leaders. They've got Giorgio Chiellini, who's out injured at the moment, which is a big loss for them. They need a big personality as much as, you know, that could be somebody in any position, if you like. You know, just somebody to put his foot on the ball and say, come on. You know, someone to be Conte's man on the pitch. But, you know, they can surely find that within the squad. I mean, I mentioned Chiellini there, but when he's injured, that personality on the pitch kind of goes a little bit. I mean, you should have seen Conte on Sunday. He was going mad on the touchline. Wanted to be out there, and he was trying to get his sort of messages across to the players and so on. They're really kind of chomping at the bit. So Conte either needs to find somebody that can do that for him, or they need to bring somebody in. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being someone like Paul Pogba, you know, the guy from Man United, who came over from United that time with a lot of fuss a couple of seasons ago. You know, he's got that kind of fighting spirit about him. So, you know, they just... Yeah, I mean, you're right. It could affect the way they're looking at a January transfer window, I suppose. But I think that, you know, they just need to change the personality of the team. And that can come from within. It has to come from the coach, ultimately, I think.
How important is it to get Asamoah back as well on the flanks? Because Padoan, since a recent spell of playing, hasn't played half as well as we saw Asamoah at the beginning of the season.
No, well, you know, Asamoah is going to be busy with the African Cup of Nations. So, you know, getting him back eventually will be a big deal because that he just balances out that midfield so well. You know, Pirlo, Asamoah and Vidal are just perfect together. You know, I think they work really, really well. And then this sort of feeds back into what I was saying. Do you really need a striker if they're creating so many chances? You know, anybody, even Nicholas Bentner-Bessin could probably put some of those in. So whether you need a big target man, it's debatable. But yeah, Asamoah is going to, again, another big loss. And I should imagine there'll be a bit of nail-biting going on amongst the Juve staff watching those African Cup of Nations games to make sure it doesn't pick up an injury or anything like that.
Now, the side nipping at Juventus' heels, Lazio, a number of people said they didn't have the squad depth to be able to challenge for a Serie A title. How are they proving everybody wrong here?
I think it's probably got a lot to do with the coach, a lot to do with Petkovic, a guy, you know, who was in the Swiss League this time last season. A lot of people didn't really know too much about him, myself included. You know, he just works really well. He just silently, quietly goes about his job. He's got a lovely sort of calm authority about him, and the players respond to him really well. I've got to put my hands up here. I'm one of the people who still believes, you know, I think Lazio can certainly push for Champions League spot, but whether they're challenges, I'm not sure, because I think they are a little bit too stretched with that squad. You know, Lotito, the chairman, the president, you know, he's notoriously tight, and he talks a good game, but he's not very good at putting his hands in his pocket. And he's been sort of making noises recently about, well, we're going to bring a lot of youth players on, which I think has probably set alarm bells ringing amongst the Lazio fans, because, you know, they did players in to really build on this. And this is a big, you know, this is a big ask now of Lotito. You know, do you want to sort of build on this? Because you're in a position where potentially you could be challenging for the title. You've got a great coach. You've got a nucleus of a great team, but you haven't got a great squad yet. And, you know, you've got Napoli breathing down their necks all the time. So, you know, they've got to either sort of build on this or just hope for the best, I think, really. I hope they do well. It's great. You know, the more clubs that are in the mix at the end of the season, the better. But if you sort of played face-to-face games, you know, Lazio against Juve, Lazio against Napoli, I wouldn't expect them to win those games. You know, I'm still not entirely convinced they can actually win the title.
Do you think age will come in to be an impact on this Lazio side? Because some of their top players, Biava, Closa, Diaz, are all on the wrong side of 30, and in a long season could get tired earlier than most.
Yeah, exactly. I think it has to be. Age has to be an absolute factor. I mean, Closa, bless him, he's such a great team player. I don't know if you remember, towards the end of last season he was injured. And you would have expected someone of his age, you know, a European tournament coming up, he could have just sat that out and said, OK, that's me done for the season. But he came back. He came back and played the last two games. I think maybe just the one last game, because he wanted to push Lazio one into Europe. You know, he'll give his all. But you're right. I mean, these guys aren't getting any younger. Possibly could even need just some younger blood to come in just to sort of push a bit more enthusiasm around the place as well, and to just, you know, create a bit more space. You know, they just need a plan B, I think. You know, or even a plan C, because Petkovic does like to sort of play around with tactics. You could see that. I mean, they were fairly lucky against Atalanta. They won 2-0 on Sunday, I think Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember now. But, you know, Petkovic reacted within the game to what was going on. I mean, he is somebody that likes to have a lot of players at his disposal. And, yeah, you do wonder whether he's got that many players of that level at his disposal at the moment.
Now, Matthew, away from Serie A, we've got the Coppa Italia tonight. Fiorentina taking on Roma. Neither side has won yet. Both have had two losses since coming back from 2013. Who's in the better position, though, to be going ahead in this one? Obviously, Fiorentina playing at home tonight. But who do you think's most likely to come away with a win tonight?
I think Fiorentina are certainly in a happier place. You know, I think Montella was saying after the game they lost 3-1. Montella was saying, well, this isn't a problem. I'm not saying they didn't deserve to lose, but they probably didn't deserve to lose by that margin. They're still playing well, Fiorentina. They've still got a kind of sense of a progression and of a project going on there. And Giuseppe Rossi is going to be coming in March as well. With Roma, there's just a bit too much of a drama going on, a bit too much of a, you know, they're one game away from a crisis. That game could well be tonight. Their season could well be over tonight if they get knocked out of the Coppa. You know, there's rumours again about De Rossi. There's rumours about the American owners having a chat with Zeman, not being too happy with Zeman, primarily over his treatment of De Rossi. The American owners were very kind of vocal and you know, publicly saying, well, De Rossi's not going anywhere. We want to keep him. And you can see their point. You know, suddenly they offer him this big fat contract and Zeman says, well, I'm not going to play him. So it's an affront almost, I guess, to the owners. And Delassie is clearly, you know, he's one of the best midfielders in the world. He can't waste another season like this. He's either got to go or you know, they've got to play him. So, yeah, Roma, it's a bit of a troubled club at the moment. There's more pressure on them, I think. There may well be pressure on Fiorentina later on in the season because now expectations are getting higher. But expectations are always fairly high at Roma. And I think certainly people were expecting when Zeman came in to have this great zippy style of playing and you know, for them to sort of basically wash over everybody and zip up the table. And that hasn't happened, and it's not happening. And as I say, if Roma lose tonight, then you can happily, you know, clearly imagine that disgruntled fans will start turning up at a training ground and all this sort of stuff that we've seen happen at Roma and other Italian clubs indeed over previous seasons. So the heat's on them more than Fiorentina. And I think the confidence is probably with Fiorentina as well. And as you say, they are playing at home. It promises to be a very good game because, you know, when both teams are on song, they can play some lovely football, so it should be one to watch.
With the De Rossi situation in Roma, though, he's not excelled this season very often when he has played. Like Mattia Destro, is there not a point that you could say they're deserving of their place on the bench?
Yeah, possibly. But, I mean, you know, with De Rossi, you have to give him a decent run out. I think De Rossi's one of those players. I mean, yeah, he comes across as a big, tough guy, but he's one of those players. He needs an arm round him quite a lot. You know, he just needs to feel loved, I think. It's the kind of player that sort of like Mourinho would have, you know, would love. And then you could see him working at Mourinho quite well because Mourinho would just tell him he's the best midfielder in the world and all the stuff that players like to hear. So, you know, he needs to get a run of games. He needs to feel wanted. The problem with Zeman as a coach, you can argue there are plenty of problems with Zeman as a coach, but the big problem is you've got to believe in him. You've got to believe in what he does. You know, and if he tells you, don't worry about defending, just run up the pitch, you've got to be able to do that. You can't question it. And that obviously, being a good Roman boy, I'm just trying to say, well, I'm not doing that. Why should I do that? So, you know, you do wonder whether that relationship has sort of broken down a little bit and maybe possibly Zeman played him a little bit out of position. I'm not sure. But I think he works quite well, so with Michael Bradley. You know, I think that sort of anchors the midfield there really well. And then protects the back four, who need a lot of protecting in the Zeman team. But yeah, I take your point. But yeah, he's got to play. And I think he wants to play. He wants to play. But, you know, ultimately he just wants to play full stop. And he has to go, he'll go. I can't see him playing for another team in Italy. So, I suspect he'll probably go. If he does go, he'll go to Spain or perhaps even England.
Now, there's plenty of talk in the Italian transfer window at the moment, and rumour today that AC Milan rejected an opportunity to sign David Beckham again today. Can you tell us anything about this, Matthew, about why the Rossoneri would have rejected Beckham?
Yeah, they've got a little thing at the moment in Milan about wanting to sort of bring it. It's come from Berlusconi down, basically. So I think they probably just saw Beckham as being a little bit too old for them now. Perhaps a little bit too much of a sideshow sort of brewing up as well. He did really well at Milan and they respect him a lot there. But I think it just kind of goes against their current sort of way of looking at signings, their transfer market activity, which is sort of going low. You also, I have to say, wonder whether Beckham's wage structure or something like that may have sort of put them off because they are trying to, although they're cashing on Pato, you know, they haven't got a lot of money, Milan. So the money they have got, they've got to be really careful with. So the idea, even getting Beckham in on a free, you know, he doesn't come cheap. And that would have been a problem for them. So, you know, we don't want to spend wages on someone of that age. I mean, if you go back a few seasons, exactly what happened with Pirlo. He got to a certain age and they decided to get rid of him. Their mistake, of course, but that's the way the club is run these days. You know, the days of big, huge signings coming in just to bring them in, really. It was having an awful lot in the early 90s just to get a bit of glamour and a bit of marketing pizzazz or whatever around the place. Those days have seriously gone at Milan. It's a completely different club these days.
Does that then rule out the chance of Balotelli coming in as well? We've seen Berlusconi apologise for his comments about Mario.
Yeah, well, you know, we're quite used to Berlusconi saying strange things, but that was an odd one. I mean, he was so sort of, he called him a bad apple and indeed, a couple of weeks ago, was saying I like him as a player, but you know I don't like him as a man, and all this sort of thing. And yeah, a bit odd that he would suddenly backtrack. But I think it's a bit of a red herring. I seriously would be a massive surprise It'd be great news for Italian football, but it'd be a massive surprise if Balotelli did end up going back to Milan. And again, this is really all about wages as opposed to sort of transfer fees or maybe even getting him on loan or whatever. You know, Milan has to be so careful with their wage structure at the moment. But Balotelli's making a lot of noises, and Galliani, his right-hand man, a lot of noises about bringing sort of youngsters on and you know, bringing youngsters into the team. But, you know, they don't come cheap either. So, you know, as I say, Milan have got to be really careful with the way they're going at the moment. The money they got for Pato, yeah, they can get some players in with that, but I say they've got to be careful with that money because they're not going to have that money, you know, again in a year's time or anything like that. There's just not that cash around at Milan anymore. Their problem as well, of course, is they've got to get in the Champions League or they've got to progress in this tournament, which I'm not convinced they're going to do, if they want to attract bigger players come next season. You can just... I think the next year, 18 months, are going to be crucial ones for Milan. And a lot of this has got to do with that sort of the fourth Champions League spot being taken away from Italy. It puts so much pressure on clubs in Serie A now. You know, the bigger clubs, the sort of the classic seven sisters that we all sort of knew and loved from the 1990s, they all want a Champions League spot. There's only three of them left now. You know, it's really kind of... It's great for the neutral because it's added to the excitement of that championship. But big clubs are going to miss out. And if you know, if Milan miss out on the Champions League next season, then I think that'll have a massive knock-on effect for them.
Be interesting to see what that effect that does have on the Rossoneri. Just one last one, Matthew, if that's okay with you. Wesley Schneider, any more news on what's happening with Wesley? Because it seems like he's stalling on this Galatasaray move.
Yeah, I mean, Massimo Moratti, the Inter president, is getting rather impatient about this, and I get the impression an awful lot of the Italian press are as well. Inter's problem is that, you know, until Schneider goes, or until they know what Schneider's doing, it's blocking all their transfer activity up. You know, the whole idea of getting rid of Schneider is, again, it's down to wages. It's freeing up cash and it's freeing up space within the team as well. I mean, they've got their, you know, they've had their eye on Paulino, the lad from Sao Paulo, for an age now, you know, for the best part of a year. But he's seen as almost a direct replacement for Schneider. So they, you know, Sao Paulo asking for, I think it's like 20 million euros, stuff like that. Now, Inter can afford that, but only if Schneider goes. So this is holding everything up for them. So everyone's getting really impatient. Everyone's keenly watching to see what his wife says on the Twitter feed, because that seems to be the best source of news for Wesley at the moment. But as far as I'm aware, he's holed up in his house, and he's not speaking to any press. I get the impression he's not too keen on Galatasaray. He's pretty much the only club that have put an offer for him. I do think he'd probably go to the Premier League. You know, there is a window there for Liverpool if they want to put an offer in. But again, you know, Schneider's fucking... You know, for that last big contract, or for that last big wage, he's pretty much a man out of time now, really, because not many clubs can sort of match those wages. Not many clubs can offer it to him. You know, 2 years ago, Man United would have snapped his arm off. You know, they would have loved to have got him in, but he's lost so much value because the last 2 years, Inter have had a troubled time. He's had a troubled time. He needs a fresh start. And you know, as I say, I don't want to talk and be rude about the Turkish league, but I don't think that's for him. I think he still feels he has a lot to offer, you know, in a high-profile European league, i.e. Spanish, German, even Italian still, or indeed the Premier League. So he's got to work something out. And I think Inter treated him fairly shabbily. I think, you know, they don't come out as too well either. They pretty much sort of shunted him out. But it's become a bit of a mess. It's become a bit of a soap opera. And I think the sooner it gets sorted out, the better, really. But as I say, this is ideal. If somebody wants him, they should come in now. You know, if an English club wants him, now's the time, I think. They just come in and make an offer and see what happens.
Matthew, I know we've had you on the show for a very long time today, and I apologise for taking up so much of your valuable time, but I thank you very much indeed for coming on today and joining us.
No, absolute pleasure. It's always good to chat, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
We'll definitely have you back on as soon as we can. Matthew Barker there, freelance Italian football journalist, joining us on World Football Daily to talk all things Serie A. It's been an absolutely frantic start to the Serie A season. Plenty of moves, as we say, being made, of course, on and off the pitch. Giuseppe Rossi ended up joining Fiorentina, and they play tonight against Roma in the Coppa Italia as that continues to move its way through the Italian season as kind of a subplot to everything that goes on in Serie A as well. It'll be a very entertaining and interesting game tonight. These are two sides that I really like watching, Roma and Fiorentina. Both play nice attacking football. And I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to sit down and watch the whole of the Rome-Lazio game, the Rome derby early on in the season. And I was just transfixed by the by Roma's play in that game. I thought it was fantastic to watch a lot of it. And Fiorentina as well have just been a really fluid... I mean, we've spoken with this, to the people about this before on the show. You know, Andy Brassel, Giancarlo Rinaldi have all said they've just got a lovely flowing element to their football at the moment, Fiorentina. And it'll be really interesting to see how this game pans out tonight. There is breaking news here on World Football Daily. Here on the show, we have been informed that apparently Pep Guardiola, it's been announced, will be taking over from Jupp Heynckes at Bayern Munich at the end of this season. Guardiola is going to be going to the Bundesliga. It's not going to be Chelsea. It's not going to be a side in the Premiership. Manchester City were looking. Manchester United potentially were in there as well. It is going to be Bayern Munich. Yesterday, Bayern Munich played down their links with Pep Guardiola. Today, Eurosport announcing to World Football Daily today that Pep Guardiola
directly to World Football Daily, i.e. the wonderful invention of short message systems, text.
Getting all the live updates here at WFD. That's broken maybe... Well, it's 5 minutes into our interview just then with Matthew Barker. So right on the cusp of breaking news. What do you make of this move then of Guardiola going to the Bundesliga? The Bundesliga is not exactly the biggest league in the world in terms of popularity and people watching it. It's still not on level terms with La Liga, with the Premier League, and to an extent with Serie A.
I'm kind of disappointed, Juice, because for one, it's like, well, Bayern Munich... It's not like there's an incredible challenge there. You know what I mean? It's kind of like what he was walking into with regards to, Barcelona. It was either going to be Barcelona or Real Madrid. Like, it's not like, you know, it's too much of a challenge to win the league. You just got to really beat one other team. It just seems like it's an easy kind of job for him. Like, what challenges lie there in Germany for him? You know, like if he's looking to kind of build the image or the persona of the Bundesliga, I guess I kind of get that a little bit, but I don't understand why he thinks that he can do it from Bayern Munich. If he really believes in his, you know, talent and abilities, why doesn't he go to like a lower team in the Bundesliga, or like a Hanover or even a Schalke, a team that has kind of that Champions League pedigree, but, you know, it isn't really, hasn't really challenged for the title in a long ass time.
Raph, I'll tell you why.
I just don't understand what his kind of reasoning behind this is.
Cash
now,
Wonga.
If you go to any side in the Premiership, you know, I feel as though you're going to be challenged, really, you know. Even if you're Manchester United, you still have to deliver and win those games and get those big results and things like that. And I think it just would have been a little more interesting to see him go there. Now that he's not, it's, I don't know, man. I just don't. Are you going to be watching Bayern Munich that much more because Pep's going there?
I don't think I'll be watching them more because Pep's going there. But he's joined a league that is almost identical in terms of structure to La Liga. You know, it's a two-tier system. A two-team system, like your American two-party system. You know, you've got Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Real Madrid, Barcelona. Then you've got your any others kind of thing. You know, your Schalkers that can throw their name in the hat. Your Bayern Leverkusens that can push for those Champions League spots. Same, you got your Valencias, your Malagas, your Betises. And then you've got kind of any other contenders. Like the guys that maybe like Levante will make a strong push for a season and then might never happen again. You got your kind of like your Wolfsburgs and people like that. He's gone to a league where he's only got one other team to beat, guaranteed success. Jupp Heynckes has created an incredible side down there at Bayern Munich as well. So it's not like Pep needs to go and bring anybody in or anything like that. He has a system to work with. What I think is going to be the most interesting thing about this move is how he gets this Bayern side to play. Does he try and incorporate the tiki-taka style that is incorporated into Barcelona youth teams from a very early age? And you know how he based kind of the tiki-taka style of play but adapted it to fit basically Lionel Messi? Does he try and adapt this Bayern Munich side to fit around an individual player And if he doesn't, how does he deal with Iron Robin and the kind of the ego of Iron Robin if he isn't going to base the team around Robin and his qualities?
Here's another good question, Juice, that I guess we'll have to wait and see. What happens when he doesn't win the Champions League in his first year?
Do you think,
you know?
Oh, I think Bayern are level-headed enough, and I think German football teams in general are level-headed enough not to make knee-jerk, rash decisions about managers. And I think that's one thing that's actually pushed.
I
Pep
would disagree.
Towards it.
I feel like Bayern has a track record of kind of doing some off-the-wall things and firing coaches too soon and things like that. So I don't know. I agree with you. I think you probably give Pep a little bit more of a chance, but I don't. If for whatever reason he does kind of stumble with this Bayern squad, I would be very interested to see how long he's allowed to stumble.
I don't know. I think he won't be expected to win a Champions League straight off the bat. I think Bayern Munich as a club realize how difficult it is to win a Champions League. Now, maybe league titles definitely needed straight off the bat. But this is a Bayern side, as I say, that is already built to win a league title flat out. And with Dortmund and the expected pillaging of people like Lewandowski to take place, it's going to be very difficult to find a contender for Bayern Munich. Again, Pep's gone to a job where it's high profile, there's possibility of a Champions League win, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to be very difficult for him to succeed in domestic football. For me, it's an ideal position as a manager to be going into, to be a well-respected manager going to a place where you pretty much know you're going to win silverware. If he goes to Manchester City, he has to deal with the pressure of the money and the financial burden of being a club that spends that much money on players. Same with Chelsea, you've got to try and unite a dressing room and build off the back of people like John Terry and Ashley Cole and Frank Lampard when they leave. If you go to Manchester United, you've got to compete then with the big money side. Similarly, if you go to somewhere like Liverpool, even less money than United, and you've got to, you know, compete with big money sides. If you go to Arsenal, you need to build on a side that has got a history of selling its players and getting rid
of
its best players at the same time.
So what we're saying, Juice, is that Pep Guardiola is a lazy manager and he's not necessarily that good.
I just think he's taken an easy option. I wouldn't say he's not that good. What he did with Barcelona is incredible. But I think a lot of what he did at Barcelona maybe was helped by the fact that you know, this system is instilled into their players, and this is a group of players that have played with each other at young ages. Yes, they've gone off. Some of them have gone off around the world and come back again. But in general, a lot of that side has played with each other for a long period of time, both at international and at club level. Now, if you're a manager and you've got a great set of players with awesome skill, and et cetera, et cetera, and they can all work together, you need to go in there as a manager and just kind of go, keep doing what you're doing. I guess. You don't need to do too much. I'm not saying Pep didn't do anything at all. I wouldn't dare to dream of saying anything like that, because I do think he's a great manager. But I think it's an interesting scenario that he's gone to a side where, again, he's pretty much set up to win straight from the get-go.
He's walking into a winning situation, basically.
Yeah, very much indeed. Very much indeed. And on that note, on that breaking news, we're going to have to call it a day here on World Football Daily. A massive thanks to George Mateus for joining us from the Mad About Football boys. And you catch their podcast. It'll be on the airwaves tomorrow. www.worldfootballdaily.com is where you can find it if you're a premium member. Of course, you can get in contact with the show at worldfootballdaily.com and at wfootballdaily.com if you'd like to critique George on his debut. Or, of course, get in contact with us about Matt Barker, who joined us today as well, who talked to us about all things Serie A. And a big thanks to Matt for coming on the show today as well. This has been World Football Daily. As I say, it's a slightly shorter edition than normal today, but I will be jetting off and coming back with hopefully a bit of Rafa Benitez and his thoughts on what has broken this afternoon, going into the belly of the beast to Chelsea, and what does that do for Rafa's position as Chelsea manager potentially for next season. Hopefully we'll have some answers for you tomorrow on World Football Daily. A big thanks to you guys for listening. A big thanks to Raf, as usual, for putting all this show together. I've been Oliver the Juice Wilson. This has been World Football Daily, the news and views from around the world of football. And there's plenty more coming later on this week. We'll be back to the same time tomorrow. Enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy the football tonight.